Hello, 103. Here we're looking at another question out of chapter 8, question number 14. This question is looking at an application of the equilibrium condition we get when we have multiple inputs and we're allowed to choose the inputs, both of them. So normally when we have labor and capital, we say that we want to hire labor until the marginal product of labor per dollar of cost is equal to the marginal product of capital per marginal cost, per unit of cost. So the easiest way to understand that is that if the wage rate happened to equal the rental rate and they both equaled $1, so you could hire some capital or hire labor for a dollar each, then this would say you would want to set the marginal product of labor equal to the marginal product of capital. And that makes sense, right? I mean, why would you hire labor if capital is more productive? If capital is more productive, you would hire capital. But as you hire more capital, the marginal product of capital falls until they'd be equal with the marginal product of labor. You might recognize this metaphor is that this is the two lanes of the freeway moving at the same speed. So in this question, we've got a healthcare system. And in our healthcare system, a common news story is that in any jurisdiction with a public healthcare system, there's a battle that pits the government healthcare system's refusal to pay for treatments against someone with a rare disease. Invariably, these are rare disease treatments that are expensive and are experimental or unproven. So, you know, you probably don't remember, but there was a battle with a person with a rare skin disease, and they were very allergic to the sun, and they lived in British Columbia, where it's often cloudy, but they still wanted the government to pay for a treatment for their rare disease. So, part A, assume there are two treatments for two illnesses, call them 1 and 2. Assume that the cost per treatment is C1 and C2. Rewrite the above equilibrium condition with these new variable names. Well, that should be pretty easy. So we're just going to have the marginal product of treatment 1 divided by its cost has to be equal to the marginal product of treatment 2 divided by its per unit cost. If budget funds are allocated along this rule, what does this imply about the total value of healthcare provided given that the funds are available? So the key thing is that when the government follows this rule maximizes the value of healthcare. Now, notice what it doesn't do. It doesn't maximize the amount of treatment 1. It doesn't maximize the amount of treatment 2, right? It doesn't minimize the number of deaths from illness 1 or minimize the number of deaths of illness 2. You're taking into account both. There's a value of treating people with illness 1 and there's a value of treating people with illness 2. And you don't want to focus in on one and ignore the other, right? You want to consider both things and understand when would you maximize the value of all the healthcare. And that would come from following such a rule. Is the refusal to employ expensive and experimental treatment consistent with this condition? Well, it certainly is. So if a treatment is uncertain, it's not proven, we don't know if it's going to work or not, then what is that saying? That's basically saying that the marginal product of that treatment is, you know, low. If the marginal product of that treatment is low, then you're not going to want to, and it, you know, for a given cost, you're not going to want to engage in that treatment and you want to do less of it. Right? So the way to equate, if this marginal product is low, the way to make this marginal product low is to devote more energy into illness treatment number 2 than treatment number 1. So that makes sense. What if a treatment is really expensive? Well, let's suppose C1 is really expensive. Again, if C1 is expensive, then MP1 over C1 is low. And the only way to make this low over here is to increase the amount of effort in illness treatment number two relative to number one. And again, you would not fund. So if something is experimental or really expensive, then we should expect to see that the state might say, you know what, we're not going to opt for that. We're going to opt for something that's more predictable, less expensive, et cetera. And so there, in a public system, it might make sense to say we're not going to fund very expensive or experimental treatments. Now, if the government decides to pay for treatments that violate the condition in A, what's the opportunity of costs of such an action? Well, if you go ahead and say, yeah, oh, the experiment, the marginal product is low, but we're going to divert dollars there anyway, or the treatment is expensive, but we're going to divert dollars there anyway, then what that means is that you are reducing the treatment and funds on illness number two, where they were more effective. And so you're going to increase deaths over here, and maybe you'll reduce deaths over here. Now, we saw a version of this in our COVID situation where, you know, the state seems completely focused on minimizing deaths from COVID directly, in particular, minimizing deaths in old folks' homes, completely ignoring the fact that when they lock down people, you cause deaths from heart attacks, suicides, drug overdoses, mental illness, violence in the household, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you end up with getting more deaths than you would have if you'd followed the rules. So